Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We continue our sermon series of what it means to be a sojourner, a pilgrim of faith. We're not satisfied with this earth. We're longing for that heavenly country. Peter's letter to the Christians is very practical. The way in which he writes it in the original autograph is very practical, very plain, very simple. I want to keep it that way, and I want to handle one verse this week. It deals with spiritual warfare. If you were at the men's conference yesterday, those guys stole my thunder. They used my preaching verse, they used my references, and I want to, again, reiterate the points of that, present it to you in just a little bit different perspective, and challenge you about war. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse as our main scripture text, verse 8. It says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Believers are sojourners. We're travelers of the faith. But we're also soldiers. And our time on earth is rather brief. And do not think of your life in terms of entertainment and enjoyment. Think of yourselves at war. The church is not a cruise ship for your entertainment. It's a battleship for your deployment. And we have become mistaken, and we have made worship and church and even preaching something that fits our fancies and doesn't prepare us for battle. And I want to challenge you today to know what God's Word says. This one verse, there's a lot in it. It's very simple to me, and I want to present it as such. The moment you follow Christ, you raise not your hand, but you raise your heart, and you have joined the great war of the ages. You say, I didn't know that when I signed up. Doesn't matter. You've been drafted. You're enlisted. You're at war. Using those terms, everything is different now for our spiritual lives. I want to show you just two simple points from this one verse. It's based upon knowledge. You need to know. Know what's ahead of you. Know what's called of you. And so number one, know your obligations. Know the terms of your enlistment. Know your obligations. There's a lot of things, a lot of areas in which we can go with spiritual warfare. But what is clear, what are your obligations, what are the things God is calling you to, commanding you to, in the imperative verb tense in the Greek. Know your obligations. This is all God wants you to do. So after you are humbling yourselves, the prior verse, verse 7, you're casting all your anxieties on Him. That is the point which the Lord says, be ready for war. It's very interesting to the person who is dealing with pride or dealing with the things, the concerns, the cares of this world, dealing with anxieties. I believe the way verse 8 is oriented, that is the time when Satan is going to attack you. Sometimes when you're at your lowest moments, when the concerns of this world are overbearing, when you're anxious, when you're worried, that's when the enemy, I believe, will attack. So know your obligations. And let me also preface, we're in a spiritual war, not a conflict on earthly measures. This is a war of the Spirit. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but listen to this, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We are fighting a spiritual war. We're at battle. And God says, we've got the greatest weaponry, we've got the greatest armor, we've got the greatest strategy, but it's all spiritual. So Peter gives us two commands in this verse, and he wants us to implement a defensive understanding. Now, when we talk about warfare today, warfare part one, we're talking about defense. You say, Pastor, I don't want to defend, I want to attack. Then come next week in verse 9. Next week is all about the offensive. He wants us to implement a defensive strategy, an understanding, and he says it through two commands: be sober, be vigilant. That's the way I've learned that verse in the King James, but in the ESV, be sober-minded, be watchful. Those are the two points of application, not just know your obligations, but what should I do, what should I implement after this? Sober-mindedness, watchfulness. And I want to take time on both of those sub-points. Be sober-minded. You implement a value in your life in a permanent sense. You implement it. It's not a every day I've got to do this. You have this mindset, this attitude, I'm going to continuously be sober-minded. King James says be sober. So it's not just don't be drunk, which is great. What it's talking about is a state of readiness. You're ready. You're living for Christ with no impairments in your body or your mind. You're in full, complete control of yourself. It's the opposite of intoxication or being buzzed. God tells us in his word that we are to be in complete control of our minds. We don't need anything to impair us, to dull our thinking. We don't need our bodies to be numb to the situations of life. In fact, Peter says, be sober-minded, and this is the third time in this letter he says it. I want to show you the other two because they are great. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We don't need any impairment of our thinking. We don't need any outside agent to dissuade us. The letters went out like clockwork every month. 750,000 letters, to be exact. They bore tidings of great wealth, declaring the recipient had won a large cash prize. All they had to do was send as little as $30 as a processing fee to claim the grand prize. And every month, about 2% of those receiving this letter responded. So about 15,000 people would send in $30 to $50 with a check or a money order. And that generated $450,000 a month in revenue. But all of this was a scam. This is a federal offense. There were no prizes. The money simply went to the pockets of a man named Ryan Young from Upper Saddle River, New Jersey. And from 2011 to 2022, he and his co-conspirators raked in $50 million through this simple letter scam. I was intrigued by this, and I wanted to know, what's the deeper story? What's the human aspect of this story? We know there's criminals, but the victims is what I gravitated to. Some of them said, I need this money to get well. There was health concerns, there were problems, there were treatments, there were therapies. The court filings included these letters. Almost all from victims who described themselves as elderly or living on fixed incomes. Many of them said the promised money was like a gift from God. One said, I'm a 93-year-old living on a small Social Security income. My goal in life is to pay my debt so I can continue my charities before I die. So please be true to this. May the good Lord bless you, she wrote to that person. I'm in a big financial crisis, another wrote. I just borrowed the $50 I couldn't even pay from a neighbor. Others describe being in poor health and having few relatives or friends who could even help them. And another letter said, I hope this is not a scam. I'm 80 years old. I'm sick and in bed. I need this money to get well. What was the issue? It was the allure of money. Gaining a huge financial amount clouded the judgments of many thousands. They were misled by greed or mainly desperation. Nonetheless, this scheme preyed upon their minds. This thought of everything will be taken care of if I just send a little bit in. It was not sound judgment. It was not clear thinking. It was not being sober-minded. In the verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. For the devil is looking like a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking someone he can devour. So it's not just be sober-minded, it's be watchful. What does that mean? It means being vigilant, being on the alert. In some cases, it means staying awake. Now, that's great for the text. It's also great for the 8:30 service. Stay awake. But none of you have that problem, right? I'll say that to 11 o'clock service as well. Stay awake. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Be ready. Now, most of the times that verb or the derivative of it is used in Scripture, it's almost always speaking about the return of Jesus Christ. So, in terms of the return of our Lord, be watchful. Watch for signs. Be ready. Why? Because in a moment's notice, everything is going to change. Be ready, be watching for, the Bible says, the day of the Lord. Stay focused on what matters most. Don't get distracted by things that don't matter. Be watchful. Jesus told his disciples to watch in terms of their spiritual warfare, and they had problems. Matthew chapter 26. At the most crucial moment of the earthly life of Jesus, he needed his buddies to stay close to him. Yet they failed him. It says in the text, Matthew 26, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell to his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Know your obligations in terms of the spiritual warfare we deal with. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Watch. Be ready. Be vigilant. Be alert. You know what I watched this week? Some would say the NFL draft. I watched a small portion. I watched some baseball games, both in person and on the television. But you know what I watched a lot of this week, primarily this weekend? The radar. That's right. No one said it, but yes. I watched video out of Nebraska and Kansas and Oklahoma. One video I saw, a massive funnel cloud coming straight for a neighborhood, And whoever took this video, in the shot, there's another homeowner coming out and videoing this. And then as you look down the street, more and more people are coming out and they want to video this. Now, Doug Heddy is not a prophet, but he says we should take cover. The alert went out saying severe weather is happening. It's going to happen. We don't know the time. I'm ready. I'm watching the radar in Kansas. You say, Pastor, that doesn't come our way. I'm ready. I'm watching it. I'm watching the supercells. I'm researching barometric pressure, humidity, and temperatures, and after that, I still don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know if anybody else felt like they're an amateur sleuth with the weather. At 2 o'clock this morning, I'm a light sleeper. I heard thunder. I'm up. I'm ready. I'm not going to stay asleep. I'm awake. Trouble's not going to hit me. More importantly, I'm not going to let it happen to my family. I'm paranoid in regards to some things. I want to take care of my own. I'm awake. I'm watching. In terms of your spiritual life, you need to be watching. Don't be passive. Be ready. These are your obligations. In terms of spiritual defense, be sober-minded, be watchful. You say, well, let me add some more stuff on there. That's not what verse 8 says. You say, what about this, that, and the other? Forget that. Let's keep it simple. Know the terms of your enlistment. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Now, back in the main text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. And then Peter gives us the reason. He gives us the reason. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, the first point is know your obligations. The second is know your opponent. If the first is know the terms of your enlistment, the second is know the tenacity of your enemy. Know your opponent. Now, the opponent, the enemy, the adversary, it's one person, it's one entity, one angelic being who has fallen. Our opponent, our enemy, is not other churches. It's not other denominations. It's none of that. We have one enemy, one adversary, one entity we deal with. Now, I know yesterday at the men's conference, they said we've got three enemies. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says we got one enemy, the devil. He's our opponent. You have to be prepared for the attack of the enemy. We're talking about defense today. We're talking about manning the line and holding it. He is the opponent of the kingdom of God. So let's walk through who this is and give him no glory, shall we? Who is this? The scripture says he's the adversary in verse 8. Some translations say he is the enemy. He's also referred to as the accuser of the brethren, speaking of Christians. He's the tempter, the devil, Satan, the serpent. He's the deceiver. He's the great liar. And let me just preface all of that. He doesn't like our Lord Jesus, so therefore he doesn't like you. In fact, before he ever came after us, you know who he went after? He went straight for the head. He went for the second Adam, the Son of God, yet the Son of Man. He came after our Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Diabolos is the Greek word. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Before he ever comes after us, he came after our Lord. And since he hates him, he's going to hate you. If you know the scripture reference, the story, Jesus never faltered because he was led by the Spirit and he knew the word. He never faltered. And so the devil, it says in that text and the corresponding gospel accounts, the devil left him. You say, good, the battle's already won. Yes, in a salvific sense, yes. But the war still rages. So it says the devil left Jesus, but he's still active. Notice how Peter describes not just who he is, but describes his activity. Peter describes Satan in terms of the animal world. He says he's like a lion. Oh, isn't that sweet? Go to the zoo, you see a lion that doesn't do anything. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about one in the wild. And he doesn't use the word walking, he used the word prowling, which would be semantics. So what does that mean about Satan, his activity? He is lurking, he is camouflaged, and he is sneaking around hoping you turn your back on him because he is going to swoop in and cause destructions. It says that he's looking for someone to devour. Satan wants to destroy you. Because you signed up with Jesus, you deserve death, in his opinion. He's going to destroy you. He's going to destroy your family. He's going to destroy your marriage. He's going to destroy the church. He's going to destroy our staff. He is in the destroying business. He is like a lion, lurking, prowling around, and he wants to destroy. This is your opponent. This is who you will face. It's interesting the way Peter writes about the verbs, be sober-minded, be watchful. He writes it in the aorist verb tense. But in regards to Satan, everything he talks about is the present active tense. So it says, you be sober, be vigilant, implement those values, and stay strong. But it says about the devil, he does not stop. He is continuously looking. He's continuously prowling. He's continuously destroying. So interesting the way Peter talks about that. And it's interesting, in the book of Job, we see the history of God and Satan at war, and somehow we, the followers of the Lord Jesus, get drawn into the battle alongside him. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Now this is so interesting. Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it. He says that in Job chapter 1, but also in Job chapter 2, after he strikes down Job's family, takes his possessions, God again says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none such faithful as he. And now in the first chapter, he says, dost thou fear God for naught? Let me strike him. Let me take all he has. But then he says, let me touch his flesh in chapter 2. You know what God says? What the Lord Jesus says? Go ahead. My servant's on the defensive. Ever since the beginning, Satan has been seeking people to devour. He is watching. He is waiting. And Scripture describes him as a roaring lion. He's angry, he's not hiding, he's gonna attack, he's strong, and his very purpose is to consume you, to destroy you. Does anyone else feel overmatched in terms of Satan? Man, I mean, only one angel is stronger than he, or comparable, Michael the archangel. No one else can stand against him. I don't know about this. I'm a little undone. We are outmatched on our own, but we have Christ. We have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in which God himself resides in us. He then declares to us in Ephesians chapter 6, not only do I live in you, I'm going to outfit you for battle. I'm going to give you spiritual armor to combat the enemy, and you're going to defend yourselves. Get to the line, to arms. You don't have to worry, because Christ has already handled it. In fact, Christ has already taken care of everything. He's worked it all out. He's handled the adversary. He's handled it. Know that he's coming for you. And there is a personal interaction with this text in Peter's private life. And Peter said, "Man, I'm never going to falter. I'm always ready, Lord." He says, "No, you're not, Peter." Before the cross, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus discloses information about spiritual warfare. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, Jesus speaking says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But listen to this. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And we know, based upon the intercessory prayer of God for us, in a sense that is true, that he is interceding for us, he is praying for us, that all Satan may demand us to get to us, he's got to go through the Lord. The word adversary, it doesn't mean necessarily enemy. The most literal sense of that word means someone bringing legal action against you, bringing a charge. And if we're honest, Satan has got a lot of evidence against us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. All deserve the punishment of death. But for those who are in Christ, Romans 8 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. No one can condemn." Understand this, the greatest weapon of our enemy, our adversary, is bringing our sin debt against us, but Christ paid that on the cross, and that, dear friends, beloved, is our greatest defense, the Lord Jesus. Do you know him today? Are you focused on Christ? Christ is taking care of everything. And our greatest attack of the devil will fall mute and void when he comes against the cross. Have you made him the Lord and Savior of your life? Now, if you have not, you're not at war yet. In fact, if we were to draw a line, you wouldn't align yourself with the Lord Jesus just yet. But the moment you make him your Lord and Savior, you're at war with his enemy, our enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the adversary. Make the Lord Jesus the Savior, the Lord of your life. There's other decisions to be faithful to him. By all means, you can pursue that. But maybe there's something going on in your life right now. You say, "Pastor, I feel like I'm under attack." Sometimes when we want to live for God the most effectively and most proficiently, that's when we get under attack. That's when things don't work right. That's when we feel the pressure in our souls. And if that's you today, find relief in God. Come back to him and tell him how you feel. He already knows, so why don't you tell him anyway? And say, "God, I'm under pressure. I feel the enemy lurking. Maybe it's not just you, maybe it's your family. Maybe it's not your family, maybe it's someone in our church or community that's heavy on your heart. They're under attack, they're under the pressures of this world. Lift them up. Maybe you just need the reminder that we are at war. to be ready, to be sober-minded, to be watchful, to be vigilant. And maybe you say, Pastor, everything you've preached about, I have nothing of that in my life, but I've got something else going on. Then God is bringing that to your attention for you to pray about, to spend time with Him. If I can pray with you, if another leader can pray with you, spend time and encourage you. We want to do that. But whatever it is, if God's Spirit is leading you today, be faithful and follow. Father in heaven, greater are you than he that is in the world. Greater far than all of our sin and shame. We thank you for the cross of Jesus. Lord, we know life is not easy. In terms of warfare, it's not always pleasant. But if we have you, we have everything. Father, would you direct our attention to you? If someone in person or listening online needs to trust in Jesus for salvation, to make him Lord, may they surrender themselves today. May they approach him in faith. May they respond in repentance. Father, for other decisions to be made, if your Spirit wills it to be, may we follow. Lord, I pray for those who are weary and heavy laden. And it's not just a battle of the flesh, it's a battle of the Spirit. Father, for those that are weary and heavy laden, may they come to you right now and find rest. And Father, would you work out the details of all the affairs and entanglements of this world? May they all fade away as we see Christ. Father, for those that have been listening to the accusations, the threats of our adversary, may you give them a new mind right now in Christ. May you fill them with your Spirit, and may they listen to your still soft voice and not listen to the lies anymore. Father, set us free. Break down strongholds through the power of Christ. May we take every thought captive. Father, may we wage war as you call us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.